Well, good morning, everyone. I trust everyone is well and healthy. Will you please join me in Gassho as I read these words? In order to guide sentient beings, even though they commit evil all their lives, Amida urges them to say the name, vowing not to attain Buddhahood if they are not born into the Pure Land. Namo Amida Butsu. Do you remember a song sung by the Rolling Stones back in the day called I Can't Get No Satisfaction? It was a rock song then, some say one of the greatest rock songs of all time. And like so many of them, they carried a message. In the larger sutra written 2 millennia ago, it has words that will open our eyes to our own life and make us reflect on how we view things that may be of concern only to us in our limited worldview of things. In it, the Buddha said, in reference to people's dissatisfaction in life, whatever the reason, it all boils down to dissatisfaction with one's lot, and this will cause unhappiness. The Buddha said to the Bodhisattva Maitreya and to others, people of the world, being weak in virtue, engage in strife over matters that are not urgent. In the midst of abject wickedness and extreme afflictions, they painstakingly toil. Whether noble or corrupt, rich or poor, young or old, male or female, all people worry about wealth and property. In this, there is no difference between the rich and the poor. Groaning in dejection and sorrow, they pile up thoughts of anguish, or, driven by inner urges, they run wildly in all directions and have no time for peace or rest. Anger seizes their minds, keeps them in constant agitation, increasingly tightens its grips, hardens their hearts, and never leaves them. My reason for all this rhetoric is that I wanted to lead up to this. A few weeks ago, I went to Berkeley for the annual Maeda Center retreat given by Dr. Nobuo Haneda. Well, let me tell you about my experience of what took place after the conclusion of the retreat. Usually, at the end of the retreat, we are invited to go to Dr. Haneda's home for a barbecue lunch. And I usually don't go because I have no way of returning to the center afterward to wait for my shuttle ride. But this time, someone told me that since she was going to stay over one more night, and she still had the key to the center, she would accompany me back so that I could get in to get my bags. So I caught a ride to Dr. Haneda's home with someone who offered to take me but was not staying for the party, and he dropped me off. Well, it was a great barbecue with homemade plum wine and all, and then after the party, I discreetly went over to her and asked if she was ready to leave because my shuttle was coming in a half an hour. So she left with me and started walking. We passed one car on the side of the road, and then another, and then another, and all the while I was wondering, where in the world did she park her car? Finally, I realized that we were actually walking back to the center, about a good 9 city blocks away. My legs were getting tired, and my hip was beginning to hurt, but my pride took over, and I continued on until finally we reached the center, and she let me in. All the while I was complaining to myself, why didn't she tell me that we had to walk? Well, that was one episode. The other was the next morning. I got up at 6 a.m., got to the airport by 7 a.m., went to the check-in area to find out what gate I had to go to, only to find out that the flight was delayed until 7:30 p.m. that evening. So I stood in line for about an hour and a half to find out what options I had. When they finally got to me, they said I had two options. One was that if I waited until 7:30, they would give me a voucher for a future flight. The other option was that they would put me on a United Airlines flight that was leaving in an hour. So being that I had to be back at work in the morning, I took that United option. The problem was that it was in another terminal. Again, I had to walk, this time really fast. They gave me an aisle seat, and that made me happy. So when I finally boarded the plane, a lady was sitting on my assigned seat. So I gently told her that I thought she was in the wrong seat. She ignored me. So I asked her again. She again ignored me. So then the guy next to her, said to her, show him your ticket. And she refused. Finally, she said to me, I want a seat on the aisle. So then I got upset and said, you should sit on your own seat. If you wanted an aisle seat, you should have asked for it. Finding out that her seat was actually across the aisle in the middle, I said, well, I have to use the bathroom often. To my embarrassment, the lady in the aisle across offered me her aisle seat, and she took the middle one. Now I have a problem. Because I said I needed to use the bathroom often, I had to make sure that I went to the bathroom at least 3 times during the flight, even though I didn't really have to. In other words, I have to now save face. And it immediately reminded me of one of the most quoted verses in Scottish poetry that reads, "Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive." The events and things that occur teaches me things that I usually do not think about as I go through my daily life. When I think, though, about all the events that transpired in those 2 days and the effort of all the people that were involved in my life at the time, shouldn't I remember the words of Shinran Shonin that wrote that we should be aware of Amida's benevolence and to respond in gratitude to his virtue? In this quote, responding in gratitude to Amida Buddha's virtue in Jodo Shinshu, we express our gratitude to Amida Buddha in Nembutsu and live in appreciation each and every day of our lives. People live and work each and every day to make our lives more livable and pleasant. Some of us may mistakenly even pray to the Buddha to fulfill their own desires. Pray that we get a good seat at the plane. Pray that the person next to you doesn't smell bad or takes up too much space next to you or whatever. We all know that this is incorrect. The vow of the Bodhisattva Dhammakara was made to save us, to enlighten us, to live in this world the best way that we can, in deep gratitude for all the benefits we receive through other beings and things. This gratitude we express to the Buddha is in the words of the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu. It is a phrase of thanks as we rely on the Buddha's benevolence that saves us from this world of samsara, from our own selves, as we live through the three poisons of greed, anger, and stupidity, or gas, that makes us so full of it, so to speak. To talk about these occurrences in my brief journey to Berkeley was to reinforce the message of Amida Buddha that things do occur in the course of our daily lives that we do not necessarily want or enjoy. But we, or I especially, have to think about all these important messages that really brings to light the message of ourselves, to know ourselves. There is an aspect of this letting go, and it's called non-attachment, an important teaching of Buddhism. Our attachment of things and thoughts causes us a lot of trouble in our lives and causes us to suffer. We get angry, we worry, we become arrogant and constantly complain. It causes unhappiness, tension, and sadness. If we start to analyze our troubles and worry, we oftentimes find that it is our attachments that are the root causes. So I close with the following words. When the sun shines, enjoy it. When it rains, enjoy it. All things in life, let them come and let them go. This is the secret of life that keeps one from getting upset or being neurotic. The Buddha says that all things in life and in the world are in constant change. So do not become attached to them. Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you very much for listening.